Welcome to the webinar. My name is Siglin, and I will be your conference facilitator today. Before we get started, I'd like to briefly go over the format for this presentation. There will be two parts, a 45-minute presentation segment and a 15-minute Q&A session. In order to stay within the allotted time frame, all phone lines except those of the presenter will be placed on a mute during the presentation. This will not prevent you from asking questions during the presentation. You may post written questions throughout the presentation by using the chat box located to the left of the slides. After the presentation has been completed, all questions will be addressed during the subsequent Q&A session. We will address the written questions first and then take any additional questions by phone. An operator is standing by to assist you should you experience technical difficulties. To speak to an operator at any time, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone pad. I would now like to introduce our speaker, Ashok A. Shinani. Ashok has 30 years of experience in pharmaceutical, biotechnology, and medical device commercialization. This includes building and managing public and private payer, managed care, and hospital sales forces. Ashok's experience spans multiple therapeutic areas, including hematology, oncology, allergy, immunology, biopharmaceuticals, and biologics, including monoclonal antibodies, targeted therapies, radioimmunotherapy, and supportive care. Thank you, Mr. Shinani. You may begin your presentation.
Thank you again. Hi, everyone. This is Ashok. That was a long-winded introduction, and it's good we have a chance to now move forward. I will move to the second slide and have a request for all attendees can you go to the next slide? This is not moving on my screen. Is Anthony on? Okay, here. Yeah, it's working now. I would like to request all the attendees to, if you will, please check the boxes that you see in slide two so I get a better idea of who's on the call so I can cater my presentation or content more specific to your needs. And it should not take but a few minutes. I see already 11 people have responded, and we'll wait a few minutes to have others respond, and then we can go from there. That will be very helpful. Okay, we have 19 people responded, which is pretty good. We won't waste any more time. There's an even divide between service provider attendees and hospital apheresis nurses, which is good for me to know. And in fact, the slides that we have chosen do cover both those types of audiences. Going to the agenda slide, this is what we will do. We have a set of objectives for today, and we will mainly talk about the direct costs involved and the reimbursement amount between two treatment options. And then we'll briefly go through the budget impact model, which really attracts hospital administrators, pharmacists in hospitals, as well as apheresis providers, which is derived from the study. And then I'll go through the implications to the apheresis program that you are in, and then we'll focus on the value proposition from customers' point of view, customers meaning patients, nurses, providers, hospitals, you name it, and then we'll conclude. So going to the next slide, I just want to go through a disclaimer, which we are required by law, that although we manufacture and sell FDA-cleared apheresis systems, we have not labeled our devices as providing safe and effective treatments for specific diseases or medical conditions. These machines, as you probably know, were approved many, many years, even prior to the regulations being put into place, and that's the reason. Though we have the approval, the devices are cleared, but they are not approved for any specific indications. Although the ASPA guidelines, as you have seen, spell out the various uses for which plasma exchange is used. And also, I have to mention that while the literature supports the use of TPE and it's very encouraging, there are several case reports that document lack of clinical investigation and or response in specific diseases. That said, let's start with the objectives. We have three distinct objectives for today. One is to learn about the cost differences between two treatment regimens that I will mention next. Then leverage that information with physicians. As we all know, physicians are very, very busy individuals. And if there is a treatment option that exists, which is, say, not a drug, and you're used to drug treatments most of the time, it may not cross your mind. So I think that would be very important for plasma exchange to take hold, especially in this economic environment that we are in. And you will see what I mean from the next few slides. So the key takeaway basically is in the outpatient setting, plasma exchange offers significant value and savings while providing comparable outcomes. And the claim of comparable outcomes that we make is from a pivotal randomized trial done back in 1997 in Guillain-Barré syndrome, where intravenous immunoglobulin was studied with plasma exchange. The brand name then was Sandoglobulin. And they found that the two treatments provide very similar outcomes. So that's the basis of the discussion. Now, let's go to the next slide, which is, I guess I went one slide too far. Let's do this. All right, so the comparison that we did, this is a very, very simple study. It's a retrospective analysis of the direct cost of a biopharmaceutical, namely IVIG, as compared to plasma exchange. So we studied the cost minimization analysis between these options by actually taking the data from two institutions, Mayo and Tufts in this case, and then studied the differences. And next we will, after we discuss that, we'll talk about the practical implications to your practice, because the numbers will more or less be very similar to your institution or to your practice, even if you are a service provider. So going to the next slide, we'll review the study of the comparison between these two options. And at the bottom you see the reference. You can actually click that, not right now, but if you go to that site, you will be able to download the paper. And it can also be emailed to you if you desire to see a copy of the study. The study was published in Biomed Central. It's an open access journal. That's what makes it easy for people to access it without having to pay for the study. And this was a study done with Jeff Winters, who has been an immediate past president of ASPA, as well as Chester Andrzejewski, who was a previous past president, and myself and a partner of mine. This is before I joined Caridian. I was a consultant hired to do this work. And Elizabeth and I, we recruited these other people to help us, as well as a health system pharmacist from the Northeast, David Brown, who's a PharmD. And IVIG, as most of you may know, stands for intravenous immune globulin. So what we found was that the two treatments provide very similar results in Guillain-Barré syndrome, but the price of IVIG has continued to go up in the last 10 years. And not so much for albumin, serum albumin. So we wanted to examine the direct hospital-level expenditures for both these treatments and to see if now there was a meaningful difference. If you were doing this 10 years ago, you would find both treatments cost around $5,000. But that's not the case anymore. So here is the data. So we took financial data from the hospitals for IVIG, serum albumin, and then we took the reimbursement amounts from Medicare, which is publicly available database of reimbursement dollars for both of these products, and developed a model. And once we compared the cost, what we found was for 2 grams per kilo dose for, say, a 70-kilo patient, the total cost for IVIG was over $10,000. as compared to plasma exchange procedures, which was around $4,600. And these numbers have actually changed. They change every quarter because, as you may know, IVIG prices change every 3 months because Medicare reimbursement is aligned to the price of the product. And because of that, today, if you see in the next slide, this may appear a little complicated, but let me draw your attention to the bottom line in the table, which is total for five procedures. If you see in the far right corner for IVIG today, the cost is $11,843. And the reimbursement from Medicare is $12,181. So the institution or whoever buys IVIG to give it, neurologists used to buy and bill IVIG, and they had a significant margin before, prior to the time Medicare changed or reduced the reimbursement. So basically now the difference is $400. If you look at plasma exchange, the cost has gone up slightly to $5,000, but Medicare still reimburses fairly at $9,500 for plasma exchange. Now, I do want to mention that, you know, it's not only money that matters. If a patient needs IVIG, by all means, they should be given that. We are just trying to inform neurologists primarily of another option that they have for various reasons if they feel and if they believe that the two treatments work from the published literature and their patient has issues with paying copays. Because one of the things that I'll show you in the next slide is that the patients are directly affected with a high cost of a drug. As an example, if you look at this slide on the blue bar next to IVIG, the patient copay is $2,400. So each time they go to get IVIG, they have to shell out close to $500 that many patients today may not have. Whereas with IVIG, the copay is somewhat lower at $1,900 for five procedures. But overall, the health system also spends less, whether you are a service provider doing this. Now, in that case, the plasma exchange costs this brown bar maybe $6,000 or $7,000. But still, if you see, the hospital could bill and get reimbursed slightly more than what you see the difference with IVIG. And in fact, often, hospitals are unable to collect the $2,400 copay. So what happens is they lose money on IVIG. So hospitals are encouraged when they see or hear about a new treatment option that already exists in their hospital. You know, many of the hospitals have apheresis departments that may have their own machines, or they may have a service provider come and do the procedure. And the next slide that I show you will be that of a service provider. As I mentioned, a service provider's charges may be around $7,000. But again, if you look at hospitals' IVIG costs, they are close to $11,000, some $800. So here again, the hospital spends less money doing plasma exchange procedures, assuming that the neurologist, again, feels that it's the right treatment for the patient. Going to the next slide, so what are the practical implications? You know, we have to obviously look at things from a patient's point of view. So the first thing is, are the outcomes comparable? More or less, yes. Plasma exchange, as we have already discussed, offers lower copayments for patients. It has lower direct costs to hospitals as well as payers. And although we may say we don't care about payers, they always restrict care. But I think this would make them more open, especially in the situation of a denial. If you were to share this study with them, it would be eye-opening. I was actually last month at a fall managed care forum in Las Vegas where 600 medical directors from insurance companies attend, and it was interesting to see how interested they were in the analysis, not only because it saves them money, but because they felt it had so much published evidence. I shared with them the ASPA guidelines as well as the AAN guidelines, which is the American Academy of Neurology. So it's a significant benefit, and many of them were not aware of this, and they routinely deny plasma exchange use for many of the neurological conditions. So it's all about awareness and education, and these are also physicians, medical directors, who have left practice and gone to work for insurance companies. So that's another angle you can keep in mind. If you ever get a denial, you could share the study and show the medical director at an insurance company why they should pay for plasma exchange, especially if you have documented evidence from the guidelines. So physicians, basically once they become aware, can try plasma exchange earlier, and even in some cases where they may decide to use IVIG. The reason is 50% patients fail IVIG. Then they try plasma exchange. The reverse may be a better option to do, because in that case, the system saves money and they still have something else to try later on. But generally, if TPE doesn't work, plasma IVIG probably also will not work in most patients. So it is better to try a less expensive alternative if you're going to see a 50% failure. So having said that, this also returns revenue to the apheresis departments as compared to IVIG, because IVIG is a cost center for pharmacists. So they would be very pleased to hear that some patients could be transitioned to IVIG, and therefore it would be beneficial for the patient, the provider, and the health system at large. So basically what we need to do is educate physicians about this option, as well as answer their concerns or questions about vascular access. It's commonly known that neurologists are not people who do procedures. And when they hear about central lines or vascular access issues with therapeutic plasma exchange, they shy away from recommending their patients. So it's also important, besides educating them with the cost aspects, that in your hospital, you have qualified people who can do vascular access. Major hospitals may even have interventional radiologists who can do the access and then send the patient to apheresis for the procedure. Moving right along, so again, we have already covered these. Patients benefit, providers benefit, hospitals mainly who are trying to manage their costs because of extensive pharmacy budgets that often are in the negative because of reimbursement issues. And neurologists could refer patients back into their own hospitals rather than sending them to Walgreens and Accredo, who are now opening infusion centers in the communities to do IVIG. And it's not easy, because there they take the patient's credit card first to get the $500 copay before they will do the treatment. So that said, apheresis department, if you are one, or a nephrologist, could seek referrals from within your hospitals for more plasma or earlier plasma exchange therapy than IVIG. And as I've said, it involves system-wide savings for everyone. So in as we get closer to the end, these are the key people that you may want to share the information that you are getting today, and I will subsequently show you a card that we can email you if you need more information and tools to educate your other people, your department staff or physicians or even the CFO shortly through a business reply card. So these are the people that you are very familiar with, the nephrology folks, because your department may be part of nephrology or a standalone. But the key people that I would love to work in your institution are the pharmacy, the neurology, and administration. And together, I think we can increase awareness of plasma exchange. So let's move to the next slide, which is, in conclusion, there are significant cost differences, as you have seen from the model and the evidence-based study which was published, and you have access to that. It offers value for the patients and less outlays for payers as well as hospitals. So now the goal is to really inform physicians about these options, and the tools are available, as I mentioned, which is coming up shortly. Let me cover the action steps. So what the best thing would be to share this information with as many people as you know within your system or hospital, as well as use it for any denials that you may see in the future. And you're welcome to contact me anytime through my cell or email. Now, this is the card that really adds value. If you could print this or I could send it to you electronically, there's a Word version which can be emailed. You can check off these boxes and then would be happy to get you whatever information you need. And I see here Susan asking the question if we can get these slides. Yes, I'm sure they will be available on ASFA's website. Or if you jot me an email, I'll be happy to send you the slides through email. And I think Valeska also asked the same question as I see it here. So yes, by all means, you will have these slides, and in the slides you will see this BRC, which could be printed and dropped in the mail or attached as a attachment, PDF attachment, and emailed to me, and then I can send you rest of the information on these slides. The most important things are these ICD-9 codes, because these are from major insurance companies, Aetna, Cigna, United, who have policies that pay for several uses which are all off-label, but they have, based on the ASPA and AAN guidelines, written policies to cover. So you should not see too many denials if there are new users from neurology within your hospital. And the budget impact model is a key tool for you to share with your hospital administration as well as the ASPA guidelines. And we can send you, we actually purchase copies of these, and we'll send you the full 96-page document that could be a good resource for you internally. So that ends my portion here. I think we are on schedule. If there are any questions, let me see if there are any new questions. I'll address those first from here. Yes, we will send you the slides. Most questions pertain to the slides to be emailed to all participants. I guess ASPA can do that. And after the call, I will make sure to inform them that these slides, if possible, to be sent to every participant on the call. Are there any other live questions that anybody else has?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. One moment, please, for the first question. And there seems to be no questions at this time, but as a reminder, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone.
Yeah, Siglin, there's one question I'm trying to answer. The authors of the study, the last question came from Kelly Dyer. The author of the article is Jeff Winters. He's the principal author. Chet Andrzejewski, myself, and Elizabeth Hazard, and a pharmacist named Brown from a New England health plan. And you will see that in the slides spelled out. Let's see. I have another email asking to send the slides from Terry, Terry Lynn. We will do that. That's not a problem at all. So if there are no other questions, we could end the call. And feel free to reach out to me directly. You have my email and phone. If there are any questions that come to you after the program is over.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's webinar. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.